What I really also wanted to make sure is that Pickleball doesn't lose this community and, you know, wonderful feeling that it has, the joy it brings. And, you know, I just like to see it, you know, go into all corners of our country. And, you know, that next time I speak to you, we're not talking about 35,000 players. We're talking about 3.5 million players.
Welcome back to The Future of Pickleball. This is the show on Selkirk TV, where I get a chance to talk to the leaders, the movers, the shakers, the people that are making the sport rock and roll, and now around the world. This new episode that we're going to do is going to be part of the World Series of Selkirk. So we're really trying to get an opportunity to talk to people who are guiding and leading the sport now in other continents, other parts of the world, hearing their stories and their successes. Today, I want to welcome Karen Mitchell from England. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you for inviting me, Paul.
I am so excited, and I know that I had asked you to come on after the English Open, which you've done. That's just been done. We're going to get quite a bit of chance to talk about that. I'm guessing you're probably a little cooked right now. That's a hell of an undertaking that you've done.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't really had time to decompress and recover from it, you know, not least of which doing, you know, lots of kilometers walking the venue every day, but also the mental exhaustion of, you know, 9 months of preparation, really.
Certainly. Well, I want to come back to the specifics of the English Open, but before that, would you give us a little bit of an idea? I know you're a real early adopter in the outside of America scene. When did you get involved in pickleball?
I started playing pickleball in 2015. I was accosted by some neighbors who had learnt the game in Florida, and they told me to come along and try the game out. And like everyone else, I found deep joy right from the get-go. So yeah, I was an early adopter. And then I met my now husband that same year, and I introduced it to him. And the lovely thing is that we've actually made joint friends, whereas we, you know, when we first met, we had his friends, my friends, family, etc. But we've got joint friends through pickleball, and everyone's seen our love story unfold, actually.
Oh, very nice. Now, give me a little bit of an idea. So from 2015, we're talking almost a decade now. What is the chronology that has happened where you got into the sport on a management or an organizational level, and how the sport evolved in England to where it is today?
So around 2016, I went to my first tournament, which was organized by Steve and Susie. And I've just for a second, I've forgotten their surnames, actually, which is awful. But they were running what was called UK Pickleball at the time. And it was a great tournament. I met lots of wonderful people who are now friends, you know, for life. What was very obvious is that people really wanted to play pickleball, but they weren't really so into the organization of it, right? Fast forward another few months, and there's another organization called GB Pickleball out there as well. Now, all these people tried to do something for good reasons, but for many reasons, they failed in one way or another. And it was around 2018 that a body of players kept trying to persuade myself and Frank Errico, who's now the president of the European Pickleball Federation, to start something in the UK. Frank and I met. We recognized that we both had some skills that were complementary. And by the End of 2018, we decided that we would start something. But there was also a sister organisation, or now sister organisation, Pickleball Scotland, that was being mooted. So we decided we wouldn't get involved in trying to do something UK-wide or GB-wide. We would just do something for England, which was where the players that were asking us to do something came from. And we launched on the 1st of January in 2019, and we've enjoyed steady growth despite COVID trying to put a crimp in our sales. We've enjoyed steady growth, between now and then. I think there were probably about a couple of thousand players, maybe slightly more, when we first launched Pickleball England. But now we know that in England alone, there's about 35,000 players. So, it's really, really grown.
It's interesting you throw out that number of 30 to 35,000, and I know that England right now is the largest participation sport outside of the United States from my calculations that I've seen so far.
Oh.
And one of the things that I wanted to comment on is I saw an interview with you, I think it was maybe only a year or a year and a half ago, where you were at that time talking about 15 or 16,000 players. So that's fun to see that level of
Yeah.
exponential growth. Now, to achieve that, what has been the leadership group that's been organized to lead English pickleball?
So, Frank and I originally started Pickleball England. That was in the January that we launched. By the August, we had been joined by six regional directors that were elected to our board. And they then obviously started working around their particular regions. And then we decided that we would add county representatives. So we've got a really nice inverted pyramid, a couple of national directors, six regional directors, and then we've got county representatives. Representatives. And then in about 2021, I think it was, Elaine Shallcross, one of our regional directors, she created the Pickleball Leaders Workshop, which was about standardizing how to teach people how to play pickleball. And we started putting people through that workshop, which has really helped to branch out the number of people who can actually do taster sessions and, really grow this game. So I think it's that inverted pyramid that has really created that growth.
So now I know you're very familiar with what we've been doing here in America with pickleball, and our demographic is very wide. Does the demographic in England mirror what's happening in the US, or is it different? How do you see that?
So our demographic started quite similar to yours, probably for different reasons though. Over here, we play predominantly indoors because our weather is not great. And luckily, a pickleball court is the same size as a badminton court, and there are lots of badminton courts in the UK. So we mostly started playing on badminton courts, adding the non-volley zone to the courts. And because the courts were used already in the evenings, it was mostly daytime that we could get those courts for. And so that's why our demographic tended to be on the older side to begin with. However, I can tell you that that is definitely changing. If I just give you an idea for the English Open, we had 57% of players were over 50 and 43% of players under 50. Whereas last year it was around 71% and 29%. So you can see that the real growth is coming from younger players now. And in fact, our busy time of the tournament was really on that under 55 section that we had at the weekend. So, it really is growing amongst the younger demographic.
I think that is really exciting. And obviously, we see a lot of that happening here. And as I talk to leaders in other parts of the world, that seems to be sort of a pattern or a practice that seems to be coming up. So one of the things that has happened here in the States, and I wanted to get an idea if it's at all similar for you, is we've had tremendous interest from our retired pro athletes from other sports coming into pickleball. We've had a lot of interest from celebrities, and of course, Hollywood is such a big thing for us here. Do you have any of that kind of expansion or interest from your pro athletes, ex-pro athletes, or celebrity population?
So, some of the people that play pickleball started in the US that were celebrities over here. So Emma Watson comes to mind, and there are several other British actors or actresses that play over in the States. So, we wouldn't lay claim to them because they started in the States, right? More recently, Greg Rozetsky, the former tennis player, he did a pickleball slam for us in June, along with Johanna Konta. They've recently taken up pickleball. I'm sure that more people do, but we're not necessarily aware of it right now.
That it has been such fun when in what I do in the sport here in the States is I find myself at a lot of sort of the first time these events come off, and we had an event called a PBX with a lot of celebrity pro, primarily ex-baseball players, and they're just having a bloody gas, and so I'm always kind of looking for how those things are happening. So now what I want to do is I really want to get into the specifics of the just completed 2024 English Open, a tournament that you had almost 2,000 players in. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit. Tell me a little bit about it. I know I had talked to you, and we were in our original conversation, we were chatting about what 2023 had been, which had been a very successful tournament of over 1,000 players. How did you double that in a year?
Well, predominantly through UK players, actually, because of the 1,992 registrations that we had, 1,660 were from the UK. So, we did have 45 countries in total when you count the UK countries as four. But the majority of the players came from the UK, but there were some really nice pockets from other countries. So, for instance, if I take Spain, last year there were about 20 players. This year there were 42 from Spain. From India, last year there were 18. This year there were 36. Ireland, 34 last year, 43 this year. And so, countries that one or two come along to, they bring their friends the following year. And they're just a few pockets of examples.
That's really interesting. Earlier this summer, I was in Belgium for a while and talked to a number of different pickleball leaders and people involved in the sport, and it was interesting to hear them talking about England, and it's in England, and this is going on in England. So I'm guessing that's going to be a pretty fast track for you guys. I would like you for those of us certainly in America, we don't really understand the UK. So would you kind of would you take us through where specifically the countries are in the UK that it's going? And then I'd like to talk a little bit about the other countries of Europe that are really involved in the game.
Okay, so UK is made up of England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, there are other little pieces as well, but they're the main four main countries. Scotland have got their own governing body, Pickleball Scotland, and actually, I'm very proud to say that Pickleball Wales has just been established. So we've been looking after Wales, but we're now helping Pickleball Wales to get established. Northern Ireland is rolled into Southern Ireland, so it's an all-Ireland governing body over there. But because it's quite easy to get around all of these countries, any tournament you'll see players from all four countries together. And in fact, I heard a nice story just a couple of days ago about two boys from Dublin who met up with two boys or two people from Northern Ireland, and they're now firm friends, and they get together at pickleball tournaments, including the English Open this year. So that's really nice where you see people coming together, making friends, and wanting to go along to the same tournaments together.
So then, in terms of that stuff, gets to be really exciting. As we look then in across that little channel that you've got between you and mainland Europe, what's going on in mainland Europe that you're overlapping with?
Think we're overlapping with anything. There's, a lot of thriving pickleball communities in Europe. Some countries are bigger than others. Definitely none of them are the size of England. But I personally, I think that's because the people who are working on developing pickleball in those countries, they're doing it part-time, they're doing what they can when they can, and they've got very little resources as well to do it. And so that's why some of these countries have started to collaborate with tennis to get access to different resources. Others are probably, just doing the best they can with the resources that they have. Pickleball England, I think, has been very blessed with the fact that we have got that inverted pyramid made up of all volunteers. There's nobody paid, but because it's a lot of people, it's spread across a lot of people. And then also, Frank and I, who were the co-founders of Pickleball England, Frank's now moved on to European Pickleball Federation, but we were working on Pickleball England full time, even though we were technically retired. We were spending a full-time job on it, to be honest. So, I think that Pickleball England has benefited from that, really.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the volunteerism that it took to make the sport go there. I've been in the sport for quite a while, and the entirety of pickleball, to the best of my knowledge, worldwide, has been a volunteer effort and people seeing it and developing the passion. So that's understandable. I want to tell you guys about one of the best additions I've got to my game. And it's not another paddle, it's not another shirt, it's my Selkirk Tour bag. Selkirk bags are designed with tremendous intent. They're to help you organize, to keep things that you need with you where you can get at them whenever you want them. The beauty of the Selkirk bags is they're designed by a company that really thinks first, last, and always about pickleball. They've created a series of bags at all kinds of price points that are tremendously well designed, and frankly, they look really good. Look at the Selkirk bags, not only for what you do courtside. I use my tour bag as my travel bag when I'm going around the country. Selkirk will help you have the best experience you can have. Enjoy it. Thanks so much. You can find all the bags on selkirk.com's website. So I'd like you to do a little bit of a recap now on how did the 2024 English Open finish up? What were the highlights? Where did things end up? And give us a little preview as to what 2025 might be.
2025. Oh dear. I always swear after the tournament finishes, I'm never doing another one. So I'm not sure I want to think about 2025 yet. The highlights. Well, this time we did it over 7 days rather than 4 days that we did previously. The idea there was that we were trying to increase capacity, but not do as long a day, because last year we ended up doing, I think, 8 in the morning till almost 10 at night. So that doesn't really give anyone time to have dinner. So this year we thought we'll go 7 days, and we'll try and do it from, sort of 8:30 till 6:30, something like that. Well, that did work for the later days, where we had the 55 plus, but for the younger ones, where we had a huge spike of registrations at the end of the registration period, we actually probably took too many people on, because we ended up working till, probably about 8 o'clock at night, maybe a little bit later on the Friday and Saturday at least. So 7 very full days. The highlights were that we had lots of pro players from the US. We had Next Generation. We had big groups of people from other countries. 40 purpose-built, well, not purpose-built, purpose-laid courts. So no gym lines or anything like that. We had a nice championship court that was being live streamed the whole time. Lots of volunteers, probably about 60 plus volunteers that were making the thing run smoothly. But I think the piece about the English Open that is special and unique is the fact that We have our own tournament software, which allows us, we've got a scrolling screen saying which courts are up next, who's playing, so that keeps us all on track. And people have access to their personal schedule on the same system. They can see when they're due to play next. They can see all their results coming in, almost real time. They can see the knockout matches that are coming up, etc. So I think our tournament software, which Frank Errico developed, is probably the piece that always surprises and delights people that come along to the tournament.
Well, I think that's terrific to hear about. As we're talking about big tournaments, how does English pickleball address rules, paddle acceptance, all of the controversial things that are going on seem to be in America? Are you having some of those same issues? And then ultimately, how do you deal with refereeing? I'd like to know those things.
Okay, so we use the USAP rules. We also use the USAP approved paddle list. So we make that very clear on our tournament sign up. And in fact, this year, I'm only aware of one person who said, "Oh, I've just looked up my paddle and it's not approved." So I lent them a paddle. Sorted. They didn't want to buy a new one, so that's why I lent them a paddle. I think that people accept that there's got to be rules, and if they don't meet that rule, they'll let us know, and we can do something about it. So that's that. We had probably eight referees from the USAP come over this year. It's not enough referees really for 2,000 players, but at least we were refereeing some games. We also had a referee training clinic on the Thursday so that we could try and train up some more referees. And Christina Vo, who was one of the referees, she's volunteered to get those referees trained up fully so that they can do future tournaments like the English Nationals, which are taking place in November, and future English Open tournaments. So we've got some way to go on the refereeing side, but we're definitely making attempts to address that gap.
I've watched the entire history of referee development in USA Pickleball and being here in the States. And one of the things that I would encourage you to talk to your people about is the fact that it has been a fabulous way for people who might not be pro-level players to be involved in the game at the highest levels. And I know so many of the referees now that their pride and joy is getting on center court of a major event. And it really has been a cool module to add to the sport from something beyond simply hitting the pickleball. So I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
There's one other area in terms of the English Open that I want to just touch on with you. I had talked to Rob Nunnery after he was there. I know he was at the tournament, spoke very, very highly of it, said he thought it was really, really well done, which frankly I think is a heck of an applause to you guys, because undertaking 1900 plus players is a bunch. When you look at how these things go, will you begin to have to control your numbers of pickleball players because of the facilities that you've got available? Or just without getting into plans for next year, would there be anything that you would adjust or do differently if you could redo the 2024 tournament?
Having attempted the 7 days, whilst it did increase our capacity, I think that it's so much nicer to have all the age groups together. And so I think that I would rather get a bigger venue so that we could all be together. Now, that also increases your costs significantly, and then you needs increases the number of courts you need. So there's all sorts of knock-on effects from that. And the English Open was massively expensive to put on. I don't think that people really ever talk about the costs of these things, but and in fact, it may be that the costs are not the same in the US because you've got lots of purpose-built venues. But if I say to you that we spent more than £300,000, so that's like $400,000, $450,000 just on the costs of the tournament, it's no cheap thing to put on. And so if we're going to go to a bigger venue, that probably means that our costs are going to rise significantly as well. So we need to look at that side of things as well. Alternatively, we have to restrict the number of players, as you suggested. But I don't really want to restrict the number of players because, it is a wonderful thing to have people come along to a tournament. As I said, the vast majority are from the UK, to come along to a massive tournament and meet so many people and realize that the whole community is really welcoming and wonderful, and that the way they feel about pickleball is mirrored in all of the other people as well.
Yeah, it's interesting when you bring up the issue of cost and pricing and things like that. I'm very familiar with how big an undertaking financially it is to pull off one of these big events. One of the things that we've seen in the States and is the fact that I feel like there's been a distinct acceptance of increased costs for big tournaments. And I'm wondering if that isn't something that you guys will see organically as you go along. And I would tell you that almost without exception, it's the player experience after the fact that overcomes any sting of what the cost was. Our big tournaments, and now that the PPA is running amateur tournaments along with it, all of the major events, the APP that is doing both pro and amateur players, our costs are getting pretty expensive. But as long as the tournaments are really done well, people seem to look at it as that's an expense that I'm willing to undertake. I hope you guys just keep ramping it up because it really is exciting to hear what you've done. And I think you're laying a marvelous case study and footprint for what can happen all over Europe as the cornerstone of it in your part of the world. So I want to
I
applaud.
agree with you. I agree with you. And what was interesting to me is the number of players that came up to me that are from other sports, and their eyes were on like matchsticks, because in other sports they don't have this number of players together in one place. And they don't have the size of tournaments that we're talking about. And so, because I haven't ever played in another sport, I didn't know that. All I knew was that I needed to plan for a bigger tournament this year. And now I'm realizing that actually we've created something that is humongous, and that it's not normal. But it's working. So I would like to continue to grow it if I could.
Well, and I'm sure you will, frankly, because one of the things that I saw, oh, even 7, 8, 9 years ago in the tournament scene in the US was the fact that because we could get the 3-0 and 3-5 level players involved in a big way where they generally haven't thought of themselves perhaps as a tournament player, but they come to realize what a cool experience it is being part of these enormous undertakings, and it's the place to be when it's going on here. I'm sure it's the same thing for you. We talked a little bit about Rob having been over there, and I know Megan Fudge was there, and a number of the pros coming over, and some of the next gen players. Do you see any interest or development in potential professional play in England?
Yes, I'm sure it will come. In fact, there are a couple of players that are getting, in fact, there's quite a number of players that have got paddle sponsors, but there are a couple other players that have got other sponsors like Skechers and, other companies. So I'm sure that it will come. I think there's one or two players that might have gone self-employed now because they can, create an income from tournament play and coaching. So I'm sure that that will only get bigger. At this moment in time, we don't probably have enough big tournaments with prize money. We had about £30,000 worth of prize money this tournament, but that's nothing like some of the prize money in the US. But at least it's enough to attract people, right?
Well, and those are the same exact stepping stones that we went through here. We've just sort of grown through it. One of the things that I'm finding really fun about meeting and talking with people from around the world is now that what's happened in the US has been such an example of what really can happen in the US for years and years and years, we kept being amazed at how it grew, but there was no model for us to follow. Well, now there's a pretty clear model to follow, so that can be very nice. Now that leads me to the next biggie in my little agenda that I've got here, and that's the European Pickleball Team Championship. Or is it
Right.
English? Describe, give me the correct name of that tournament in November.
It's European Pickleball Championships, and it's in Southampton, which is the southern part of England, and it's being organised by the European Pickleball Federation. So I'm not part of that organising team. I will volunteer to help while I'm there. I might even do a bit of refereeing.
So tell me a little bit about that, though. When I was in Europe this summer, I was at one of the court facilities, and they were actually having their national tryouts to put their team together to be going to this. Kind of explain how that what that's going to be, and that'll be a team competition. Is that correct?
I think it's a country puts together their team that they're taking, but I think that the actual format is you can medal in the different events. So they've got men's and women's doubles and mixed doubles. I'm presuming there's singles involved as well. Forgive me, I should know all of this. I've been briefed on it, but my head's still in the English Open. I haven't really got all the
Well,
details in front of me.
and that may
We
not answer your question then.
will have an English team though, and our board is actually meeting next week to discuss the selection process for the English team. So we'll be announcing more about that after that board meeting.
Now, is that, do you know, and you may know this, do you know, is that limited to European countries, or would a US team be able to participate in that?
No, it is limited to European countries. In fact, it's limited to European countries that are members of the European Pickleball Federation.
I see. Very nice. Very nice. That's understandable. There's you had mentioned the idea that you'd had £30,000 in prize money going on, and I just recently interviewed Pran Kohli from the Pickleball World Ranking System, and I know they've got Europe as a stop on their tour planned. And that's a significant difference in money. I mean, even for the US, the money they're talking about is pretty extraordinary. Has that got anybody's attention? Are you starting to hear any talk about that being a new component or a new factor for pickleball on your side of the pond?
No, in fact, I mean, I saw the announcement, and in fact, Pran was at our tournament, but he didn't really talk about that. We didn't, speak about that. I didn't hear very much about it. I'm interested to see how they're funding it, and it's an interesting development in pickleball, but I can't answer any questions because I don't really know much information.
Okay. Well, it is actually Pran's interview will be coming up on the Selkirk TV show, on my show. Here it'll be released shortly after you and I have had this
Then
interview.
I'll know more about
There you
it.
go. That's what we try and do here, is we really try and provide information. Well, Karen, I want to thank you so much for the time that you've spent with me. I really do respect and appreciate what you've done in England. It's just remarkable. And in every case that I've had a chance to talk to people that are making a difference in the sport, they always become role models and examples for the next group of people who want to step up and raise the bar again. I do like to give my guests an opportunity to kind of sign off with a vision of what you think the future in the next 3 to 5 years perhaps will be for English pickleball. Where do you see that going?
Well, I would like for Pickleball England to get recognition, Sport England recognition. That's, a big goal for us. At the moment, we're under threat of the LTA taking over pickleball, which I don't think will be good for the game, because, they're really meant to be growing tennis. They've also had responsibility for padel, which they haven't really moved the needle as much as they expected to for padel. So I don't really want pickleball to be the third fiddle on their bow, or their third bow on their fiddle, whichever way. I told you I was tired, right? I really want to see the pickleball to be recognised by Sport England. That's the first thing. What I really also want to make sure is that pickleball doesn't lose this community and, wonderful feeling that it has, the joy it brings, and I just like to see it, go into all corners of our country, and that next time I speak to you, we're not talking about 35,000 players, we're talking about 3.5 million players, because we've got to think big, we've got to be audacious about it, and give as many people the opportunity to play this wonderful game. And actually, that was the biggest thing that I enjoyed about the English Open. We did a taster session for a fire crew that locally with the Chelford International Centre, where we held the tournament. Many of their people that work there wanted to have a taster session, so we did a taster session for there. There were several deaf taster sessions that were done whilst we were there. It was all the taster sessions that took place were the bit that I really, really enjoyed about the tournament.
That's such fun as you described that. And I'll give you one man's opinion on the tennis community wanting to take over pickleball. We've had discussions or we've had rumors of that here in the States, and I think it's been squashed here because our sport does not need to be somebody else's stepchild. It is proving that it's going to be such a driving sport. And now that the PWR and the PWT are stepping into it from the Asian side of things, I think we're demonstrating that our sport has some unique characteristics. And you described the magic demonstration of that is what other sport in England has had close to 2,000 participants in it?
Exactly,
It just has
exactly.
not happened. And it's never happened in tennis. I played tennis competitively for 50 years before getting into pickleball. I know what the matrix is from my perspective in America. We are our own sport and we need to be governed for our purposes, not for somebody else's, how it fits into their matrix.
Agreed, agreed.
Karen, I want to thank you so much. This has been a wonderful interview. I've enjoyed it. I hope we can talk again in the future and about the next stages of English pickleball. And I may even wander over and say hi sometime in the not too distant future. Karen
We
Mitchell,
would love to welcome you.
thank you very much for joining me today, and good luck with English pickleball.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul.